Next heading, force field analysis. In an interdependent situation, synergy is particularly powerful in dealing with negative forces that work against growth and change. Sociologist Kirk Lewin developed a force field analysis model in which he described any current level of performance or being as a state of equilibrium between the driving forces that encourage upward movement and the restraining forces that discourage it. Driving forces generally are positive, reasonable, logical, conscious, and economic. In juxtaposition, restraining forces are often negative, emotional, illogical, unconscious, and social, psychological. Both set of forces are very real and must be taken into account in dealing with change. In a family, for example, you have a certain climate in the home, a certain level of positive or negative interaction, of feeling safe or unsafe in expressing feelings and talking about concerns, of respect or disrespect in communication among family members. You may really want to change that level. You may want to create a climate that is more positive, more respectful, more open and trusting. Your logical reasons for doing that are the driving forces that act to raise the level. But increasing those driving forces is not enough. Your efforts are opposed by restraining forces, by the competitive spirit between children and the family, by the different scripting of home life you and your spouse have brought to the relationship, by habits that you have developed in the family, by work or other demands on your time and energies. Increasing the driving forces may bring results for a while, but as long as the restraining forces are there, it becomes increasingly harder. It's like pushing against a spring. The harder you push, the harder it is to push until the force of the spring suddenly thrusts the level back down. The resulting up and down yo-yo effect causes you to feel, after several attempts, that people are just the way they are and that it's too difficult to change. But when you introduce synergy, you use the motives of habits 4, the skill of habits 5, and the interaction of habits 6 to work directly on the restraining forces. You create an atmosphere in which it is safe to talk about those forces. You unfreeze them, loosen them up, and create new insights that actually transform those restraining forces into driving ones. You involve people in the problem, immerse them in it, so that they soak in it and feel that it is their problem, and they then tend to become an important part of the solution. You work out the solution together, synergistically. As a result, new goals, shared goals are created, and the whole enterprise moves forward, often in ways that no one could have anticipated. And the excitement contained within that movement creates a new culture. The people involved in it are enmeshed in each other's humanity and empowered by new fresh thinking, by new creative alternatives and opportunities. I've been involved several times in negotiations between people who were angry at each other and hired lawyers to defend their positions. And all that did was to exacerbate the problem because the interpersonal communication deteriorated as it went through the legal process. But the trust level was so low that the parties felt they had no other alternative than to take the issues to court. Would you be interested in going for a win-win solution that both parties feel really good about, that is even better than what either party initially proposed? I would often ask. The response was usually affirmative because the logic is so overwhelming. But most people didn't really think that it was possible. If I can get the other party to agree, would you be willing to start the process of really communicating with each other? Again, the answer was usually yes. The results in almost every case have been astounding. Problems that had been legally and psychologically wrangled about for months have been settled in a matter of a few hours or days. Most of the solutions weren't the courthouse compromise solutions. They were synergistic, better than the solutions proposed independently by either party. And in most cases, the relationships continued even though it had appeared in the beginning that the trust level was so low and the rupture in the relationship so large as to be almost irreparable. At one of our development programs, an executive reported a situation where a manufacturer was being sued by a longtime industrial customer for lack of performance. Both parties felt totally justified in the rightness of their position and perceived each other as unethical and completely untrustworthy. As they began to practice Habit 5, two things became clear. First, early communication problems resulted in a misunderstanding which was later exacerbated by accusations and counter-accusations. Second, both were initially acting in good faith and didn't like the cost and hassle of a legal fight, but they saw no other way out. Once these two things became clear, the spirit of Habits 4, 5, and 6 took over, and the problem was rapidly resolved and the relationship continues to prosper. In another circumstance, I received an early morning phone call from a land developer desperately searching for help. The bank wanted to foreclose because he was not complying with the payment schedule, and he was suing the bank to avoid the foreclosure. He needed additional funding to finish and market the land so that he could repay the bank. But the bank refused to provide additional funds until scheduled payments were met. It was a chicken and egg problem with undercapitalization. In the meantime, the whole project was languishing. The streets were beginning to look like weed fields, and the owners of the few homes that had been built were up in arms as they saw their property values drop. The city was also upset over the, quote, prime land, unquote, project falling behind schedule and becoming an eyesore. Tens of thousands of dollars in legal costs had already been spent by the bank and the developer, and the case wasn't scheduled to come to court for several months. In desperation, this developer reluctantly agreed to try the principles of Habits 4, 5, and 6. He arranged a meeting with even more reluctant bank officials. The meeting started at 8 a.m. in one of the bank conference rooms. The tension and mistrust were palpable. The attorney for the bank had committed the bank officials to say nothing. They were only to listen, and he alone would speak. He wanted nothing to happen that would compromise the bank's position in court. For the first hour and a half, I taught Habits 4, 5, and 6. At 9:30, I went to the blackboard and wrote down the bank's concerns based on our prior understanding. Initially, the bank officials said nothing. But the more we communicated win-win intentions and sought first to understand, the more they opened up to explain and clarify. As they began to feel understood, the whole atmosphere changed, and a sense of momentum, of excitement over the prospect of peacefully settling the problem was clearly evident. Over the attorney's objections, the bank officials opened up even more, even about personal concerns. One said, "When we walk out of here, the first thing the bank president will say is, 'Did we get our money?' What are we going to say?" By 11 o'clock, the bank officers were still convinced of their rightness, but they felt understood and were no longer defensive and officious. At that point, they were sufficiently open to listen to the developer's concerns, which we wrote down on the other side of the blackboard. This resulted in deeper mutual understanding and a collective awareness of how poor early communication had resulted in misunderstanding and unrealistic expectations, and how continuous communication in a win-win spirit could have prevented the subsequent major problems from developing. The shared sense of both chronic and acute pain, combined with the sense of genuine progress, kept everyone communicating. By noon, when the meeting was scheduled to end, the people were positive, creative, and synergistic, and wanted to keep talking. The very first recommendation made by the developer was seen as a beginning win-win approach by all. It was synergized on and improved. And by 12:45 p.m., the developer and the two bank officers left with a plan to present together to the Homeowners Association and the city. Despite subsequent complicating developments, the legal fight was aborted, and the building project continued to a successful conclusion. I am not suggesting that people should not use legal processes. Not at all. Some situations absolutely require it. But I see it as a court of last, not first resort. If it is used too early, even in the preventative sense, sometimes fear and the legal paradigm create subsequent thought and action processes that are not synergistic. All nature is synergistic. Ecology is a word which basically describes the synergism in nature. Everything is related to everything else. It's in the relationship that creative powers are maximized, just as the real power in these seven habits is in their relationship to each other, not just in the individual habits themselves. In other words, these are not piecemeal techniques and ideas. They are all deeply interrelated. The seven habits themselves is an example, a model of synergy. The relationships of the parts is also the power in creating a synergistic culture inside a family or an organization. The more genuine the involvement, the more sincere and sustained the participation in analyzing and solving problems, the greater the release of everyone's creativity and of their commitment to what they create. Synergy works. It is a correct principle. It is the crowning achievement of all the previous habits. It is effectiveness in an interdependent reality. It is teamwork, team building, the development of unity and creativity with other human beings. Although you cannot control the paradigms of others in an interdependent interaction or the synergistic process itself, a great deal of synergy is within your circle of influence. Your own internal synergy is completely within the circle. You can respect both sides of your own nature, the analytical side and the creative side. You can value the difference between them and use that difference to catalyze creativity. You can be synergistic within yourself, even in the midst of a very adversarial environment. You don't have to take insults personally. You can sidestep negative energy. You can look for the good in others and utilize that good, as different as it may be, to improve your point of view and to enlarge your perspective. You can exercise the courage in interdependent situations to be open, to express your ideas, your feelings, and your experiences in a way that will encourage other people to be open also. You can value the difference in other people. When someone disagrees with you, you can say, "Good, you see it differently. I'd like to understand." You don't have to agree with them. You can simply affirm them, and you can seek to understand. When you see only two alternatives, yours and the wrong one, you can look for a synergistic third alternative. There's almost always a third alternative, and if you work with a win-win philosophy and really seek to understand, you can usually find a solution that will be better for everyone concerned. The win-win spirit creates unity on that which is essential, which enables differences to become productive, creative, and synergistic. If there isn't a win-win spirit, a common sense of what is really important in the quality of the relationship, then differences can often become counterproductive. That's why these three habits, 4, 5, and 6, are so interwoven and cannot be dealt with successfully unless all three are examined almost simultaneously. Here are 4 application suggestions that will help develop the ability to synergize, habit 6. First, think about a person who typically sees things differently than you do. Consider ways in which those differences might be used as stepping stones to third alternative solutions. Perhaps you could seek out his or her views on a current project or problem, valuing the different views that you are likely to hear. 2. Make a list of people who irritate you. Do they represent different views that could lead to synergy if you had greater intrinsic security and valued the difference? 3. Identify a situation in which you desire greater teamwork and synergy. What conditions would need to exist to support synergy? What can you do to create those conditions? 4. The next time you have a disagreement or confrontation with someone, attempt to address the concerns underlying that person's position. Address those concerns in a creative and mutually beneficial way.
This is the end of the CD. To continue the program, please insert the next CD.